Welcome to North Coast Conversation, a public service presentation of 107.3 The Wave. North Coast Conversation is dedicated to events and issues affecting Northeast Ohio. I'm your host, Bruce Van Dyke. And now, this week's North Coast Conversation. We're going to talk today a little bit about some home care, if you have elderly parents or you yourself are older and wondering how you're going to be taking care of yourself. We've got some suggestions with us. Today is Connie Hill, the Managing Director of the Visiting Angels in Cleveland. Visiting Angels is a nationwide program, and Connie's here to tell us a little bit about it. Welcome to the program, Connie.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I appreciate the time.
Now, Visiting Angels is in Cleveland that you're involved with, but this, I guess, is a nationwide program?
Yes, indeed. We are a national franchise company. We have about 140 offices throughout the country, from California to New York, and a couple of them even in the Canada area.
And I looked at the website. I was noticing that there's a lot of them in Ohio, Pennsylvania, I guess Florida, because there's a lot of elderly people in Florida. But I never considered Ohio to be a city or an area, a state that seems to have a lot of an aging population. But I guess that's true, though.
Well, and it really is. If you look at the demographics, particularly the last census that was taken nationwide, and you delve down into the state of Ohio, and then more specifically to Cuyahoga County and surrounding areas, we have a very, very large aging population, a significantly large retired population. So, again, we don't typically think that there are a lot of seniors in the Cleveland area and the surrounding communities, or even more so Northeast Ohio as a whole, but there is quite a large senior population in the areas that we live in.
And I guess in considering we're living longer, people's lives are they're doing more things into their older years, past work age, past retirement. But there comes a time, obviously, when people maybe have a tough time taking care of themselves, and we think of nursing homes is a place that maybe a person has to go. We have home health care, which is working. But the Visiting Angels, I guess the main thing about Visiting Angels is it's the non-medical aspect of care, right?
Absolutely. And it's a growing and an evolving field. And there's a huge learning curve, which I'm finding in the community. People are very, very familiar with home health or VNA, visiting nurses. When a loved one is ill in the hospital or in a rehab facility and they come home and they have to have some type of medical care in the home. So in turn, their physician will refer them to a home health agency, and that licensed professional, that nurse or that physical therapist, will come to the home to provide some in-home medical care. But what we're finding more and more now are many seniors who are just going through the challenges of normal aging don't need medical care, but they need some assistance. They want to maintain their dignity. They want to maintain their independence, but they might need a little help with the basic activities of daily living that will allow them to remain in their home and continue on with their lifestyle.
So this could be a case where someone's concerned, you know, my elderly mother, maybe she doesn't operate the stove as well as she used to, or she needs to do laundry, but that's, you know, carrying that laundry load is not something that she's able to do.
Exactly. And those are the kinds of calls we get. We get the calls from individuals who say, you know, my mom physically is fairly, you know, doing fairly well. She might be walking with a cane, might have a little bit of short-term memory loss, but we came in the other day and the stove was still on. Or the stairs are becoming more of a hindrance to her. The washing machine is in the basement. Or she fell the other day trying to get in the bathtub. So those are the calls that we get, and therefore the request comes that can you provide the type of service that will be able to provide some assistance to my mom or my dad that will allow them to remain in their home but still remain safe while they're there.
Yeah, for some reason it's interesting, too. I always think of a female elderly person mm-hmm. who needs the help and care for that, but obviously there's older men, too, that are in need of some care.
Clearly.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit. Again, we're talking with Connie Hill from Visiting Angels. How does the process work? I come to you and say, I have an elderly parent who needs some assistance, or what kind of assistance can you help with, and what goes from there?
Well, usually the next step is I gather some information from you on the phone, a little bit about your loved one, their age, their physical condition, what you believe his or her needs are. The next step, which is very critical, is that I go to the home myself personally, meet with the family. The senior needs to be there. So many times we find that families who have the best intentions are trying to arrange for care for their loved one behind their loved one's back. And I think it's critical that the loved one, the senior, be aware of the fact that the family is considering bringing someone into the home to assist them. So that's the critical step. I come to the home. I meet the senior. I tour the home. I need to see if the home, how it's laid out. Are we talking about a ranch-style home? Everything's on one floor. Is it up and down? If the person's in a wheelchair, is there a wheelchair ramp? I'm looking for grab bars in the bathroom. Are there throw rugs on the floor if they're using a walker? So I'm looking at the living conditions. Then I discuss with the family, what are the specific needs? How many hours a day are you talking about? Do you need somebody every day? Perhaps you only need someone two mornings a week. So we work together on developing what we call a care plan. And
So you kind of scout out the house and kind of give them recommendations. You're talking about having those bars in the bathroom,
absolutely,
which they may not have, and
absolutely,
that may be the only thing that they could possibly need. You're fixing their house to make it elderly proof, as it would
absolutely
be.
Absolutely. Okay. And again, those are some recommendations. I don't personally come in, of course, and put the grab bars on, but I can make recommendations. These are places you can call. This is what you need to do to make the home more elder proof, if you will. It doesn't mean we're still not coming in, but this is going to provide some more assistance for your loved one when they're getting in the bathtub. Mm-hmm. So those are the types of recommendations that I can initially make on my first visit. Many times, families don't even know that there are services out that they can take a loved one to get a geriatric assessment. So many families are saying, I just don't know. I think my mom might be in the beginning stages of dementia, or I think something else is going on. So I usually ask two things. When was the last physical, of course, and I'm not a medical clinician, but that's something I always recommend. And then the second is, have you considered taking them for a geriatric assessment? There are several places in the Cleveland area and surrounding communities that provide that service.
What exactly is that service? Can you kind of give a description of what that
well,
is?
Well, the senior goes through what's considered a battery of tests, where the professional, which can either be a social worker or a nurse and maybe sometimes a physician, ask them a series of questions. And what they're trying to determine is if there is a medical diagnosis that needs to be put in place for the senior, be it dementia or Alzheimer's. And then the family can, in turn, leave that assessment with a set of recommendations. Your mom does need some type of assistance in the home. You may want to consider assisted living. Your mom, should not be left at home at night because she's a wanderer. So at least families walk away with a tool that I've had my mom evaluated, I've had my dad evaluated, I have found out that they're going through the beginning stages of Alzheimer's, and these are the things that I need to do next.
So once you kind of offer those recommendations and you take a look at the home, you meet with the senior, what do you do at that point?
If the family at that point is ready and they're saying, we know we want to bring somebody into the home. We don't want mom to go to a nursing home. Mom doesn't need to go to a nursing home, or dad doesn't need to go to a nursing home. We just need to have a caregiver here. Then at that time, I will bring a caregiver back. Based on what I've learned about the family, based on what I've learned about the loved one, I will then match up a caregiver who I believe will best meet that senior's need. And again, this is only a recommendation. I then bring that caregiver back to the home and allow the family the opportunity to participate in the interviewing process. Families know better. You know better than anyone else who would match up well with your parents or your grandparents.
So you look for not only the skills that the person has, but maybe just their temperament, how they might, their just personality could relate to the other
absolutely.
Person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had a request the other day where the family said, my mom's really, really not a big talker, so you don't need to bring somebody over here who talks a lot.
I got it.
It's going to get on her nerves.
Sure.
So those, and we laugh about things like that, but those are things that are critical.
Right. Well, you want to make the person who's coming into their home enjoyable, for the person who's there.
Absolutely.
And I guess, and when they also decide to have somebody come in, you have options of either, what are the different options? Live-in, they could also just visit, they could stay at different times of the
day. We have hourly and live-in. Live-ins usually occur, we see this a lot with families, perhaps. Families are so displaced now versus years ago when, kids grew up and stayed in the same community, they lived, a couple miles away. Well, families, children now live in California and their mom is still here. So we're finding situations where a lot of families will say, I need a live-in with my mom. And that means somebody is there 24/7 around the clock, and they actually stay there. Now, what it does not mean is this is free room and board for the caregiver. Typically, if there's a live-in case where the person needs to stay with the senior around the clock, if it's 7 days a week, we divide that up between two people. One perhaps is there for 4 days, one is there for 3 days. So that's how we work that portion of the program. For those that don't need a live-in care, they just need someone a few hours a day, then we match up a caregiver to meet those needs. The minimum is 4 hours, and they can have someone for 4 hours every day, 3 days a week, 2 days a week, or however often they need it.
Now, at that point, do they sort of then divide up what that time is going to be used for? You know, shopping, just, you know, companionship?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like
we typically go over the services that we offer, and then we talk about what's going to be done during that period of time that the caregiver is there. We offer assistance with bathing, grooming, and dressing, light housekeeping, meal preparation, errands and shopping, and companionship. And anything else really that falls under non-medical, we can do. If someone needs us to, you know, write the grocery list out for them or to help them go through some papers that have been in a drawer for a long time, those are some of the things that we can do to assist a senior in the home.
We're talking today with Connie Hill, Managing Director of Visiting Angels in Cleveland. And do people, I mean, obviously kind of come up with a schedule, but things change, you know, week to week, day to day. How flexible are the angels?
The angels they're fairly flexible, but one of the things that we found is most families who, particularly those who've perhaps experienced caregiving before or have heard or received recommendations from others, the critical thing is that they want their loved one to build a relationship with the caregiver. So most families are in a position or want to develop a regular schedule week to week so that they know that Mary Smith, the lady I interviewed, is going to be the lady who's coming to my mom's house or my dad's house every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Seniors are leery enough about having someone in their home. And if you position yourself that it's a different person every week, they're more resistant. Mm-hmm. And you don't build up that type of relationship and the trust that is so important in the caregiving field. So we try to work on a regular, consistent schedule. There is a little bit of flexibility, but when families know that they want the same person, they're pretty willing to lock in a definite schedule.
And how much freedom or you know, there's a concern sometimes, especially if you're not in the city or the town where your parent is and you have somebody coming to visit, you don't know how friendly that person might become or how trusting that person becomes, and it almost becomes they could become the confidant, and you wonder how secure should people feel about the people that are coming to visit.
Well, and that's a dilemma that many folks face, again, particularly seniors, and that's why we try to, as an agency, present only the best candidates, present only experienced candidates. We do a thorough employment and criminal background check. And clearly, we encourage families to participate in the interview process. There is a transition period for most families and seniors to be comfortable with a person coming in their house every day or every other day. And so we all recognize that there's a period of time for everyone to get adjusted, but it's always amazing to see how many caregivers end up becoming a part of the family. Because when you think about it, so many times they spend so much more time with the senior than the family that's working does.
Right. And I suppose in a way they can sometimes become a sounding board. You know, the senior, the elderly person can start talking about, and I know with anybody who's been in the company of older people who like to talk, they share stories about people, and you're listening to the different. They probably end up knowing more about the family just by listening to the person talk about
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely. It's amazing, too, when I sit and visit with seniors when I'm doing my home visits or even just talking to my caregivers, the things that they've learned from seniors about, you know, things that happened 30, 40, 50 years ago. And what we're finding, too, is so many times seniors open up more to a stranger, even in terms of talking about issues that they're faced with, that they may not want to share with their daughter or son, and they don't want to worry them, but they'll share that with this caregiver who has nothing but time to sit and listen and converse and joke with them. So it makes for a wonderful relationship.
We're learning today about visiting angels. We're talking to the managing director of the Visiting Angels in Cleveland, Connie Hill. What kind of people become visiting angels? Men, women, ages? What kind of age are group are we usually dealing with?
Well, the bulk of them, I have to admit, are women. You wish there were more men in the field, but for the most part, there are not a lot of men in the field, the caregiving field. They come very experienced. The majority of them come out of either a nursing home environment, a hospital environment. Many have worked for home health agencies before, and many others have been doing what we call private duty caregiving for years. I have several ladies on my staff who have taken care of a little old gentleman perhaps for 15 years, and he finally had to go in a nursing home where he passed. So they've had that kind of experience out in the field where they started doing it just to help a neighbor perhaps or to help someone in church, and they ended up making a career out of it. So, again, these are individuals who I am finding have a heart and a passion for taking care of seniors. It's not as easy as people think to just place somebody in a home and expect them to stay there 8 hours a day every day with one 92-year-old man.
Sure. Well, you know, their children aren't there that often either sometimes.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's a little more connection there that you can realize that, you know, sometimes it wears on them. And I suppose with anything, you know, dealing with just the, you know, human interactions, you know, there's a good days and bad days for people.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And we're talking again about Visiting Angels. This is the non-medical home care with people offering assistance. Now, my question would you, do they do anything with VCRs or television remotes? My mother-in-law will call me up on the phone. She's an older, she says, you need to come over here because my TV's stuck on this channel or I hit a button or something like that. And I, you know,
yes.
Those are things that...
Yes, they can do that, too.
Okay.
Yes, they can. Yes, it may take them a little time sometimes to
sure,
get used to your VCR, but yeah, we can handle that.
Someone helping out or
we can
you
handle
know,
that.
Fixing
we can.
The window that doesn't quite...
Absolutely,
you know,
we can do it.
Opening the window.
We can do it.
Kind of helps them out.
As long as it doesn't require, you know, again, anything medical, we can handle it. We do not. Some people do ask, will we dispense medication? And one of the things I have to share with folks all the time is because we're not a home health agency, we're a home care agency, we do medication reminders.
Okay.
And so I always encourage families, you know, if someone in the family will lay out the medicine in one of those 7-day pill dispensers or wherever, and then it's our job to just say to the mom or the dad, it's 10 a.m., it's time to take your medicine. But we're not opening pill bottles and shaking out medicine because that's not something that we're able to do.
Sure, but just the fact that there's someone looking in on the parent or the person lets them know that you know, things can be okay. Because there could be a day or two of something, no action in the house if neighbor's going by, but it just be because the older person maybe is not coming out. But it's just a good idea to have someone, as you say, you know, check in on them and be a part of that. Now, the other thing I was reading that looks pretty good is you kind of set the schedule based on however that person lives. You know, some people are up early, some people sleep late,
right.
They have different things. And...
Right, right. And what we're finding is, and that's why a lot of people end up getting frustrated sometimes with some agencies and even to a certain degree with home health agencies. If your parent needs a physical therapist or a nurse, 9 times out of 10, when they call, they're going to tell you what time they're going to be there. The nurse is going to call or the physical therapist is going to call and say, I'll be there at 9 o'clock in the morning. And you may think, my dad's not even out of the bed until 11. But you've got to adapt to their schedule. With our agency and with a home care agency, we adapt to your schedule. So if that family member says, I need a caregiver, you know, every day from 11 to 5, then we're there from 11 to 5. If they say we need someone from 8 to midnight, then that's when we're there. So we do not want to impact their lifestyle and have them change everything around to accommodate our being there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to adapt to the schedule of the family and the senior.
When you were started talking earlier, you were mentioning how sometimes the parent or the family members would kind of plan this sort of thing without the actual individual. Obviously, not a good idea, but
not a good
yet
idea.
The reason why they're doing that, I think, is they're afraid, they're concerned, they're not sure about their what the person is going to say. What recommendations do you have for getting the elderly person involved, or how to talk to them about maybe getting somebody like this to come out to their homes?
Well, one of the things I always say to families first is. Get your loved one alone at a time when something bad has not happened. Don't address it the day you come in and you find the stove left on. Don't address it the day they've fallen 3 times in the bathtub. Address it on a good day and sit down with your loved one, your parent, and say, you know, I'm becoming concerned about your safety. Don't say, you can't live here anymore or you need some help.
Uh-huh.
Because that immediately puts your parent or your grandparent on the defensive. Put it all on you. You know, I love you very much. But I'm really concerned about your safety here. This is your home. I want you to continue to enjoy it, but I think you might need a little help. What do you think about that? How would you feel about us meeting a few people and trying it out, someone coming in just to help you? I'll say to families, too, take baby steps. If you know they really need somebody 7 days a week, but you think that's going to be a hard sell, then say, let's start with 3 days a week, and let's see how it works out. So many times I always say to them, you know, let them know that it would ease your mind. Most parents want their children to be happy. So let them know that it's your concern for their safety and their well-being.
And that way they'll feel a part of it and help to participate in
Absolutely.
It rather being that resistor and not, you know, not getting out of bed, not doing anything. In fact, even going the other direction of not even trying to do anything at all.
And we get those calls. I talked to someone the other day, and she said, you know, my mom just sits in her chair every day and looks out the front window. I just want somebody here to talk to her and to say, let's take a walk down the street. Let's go to your local bingo game at your church together. But she says she sits there. She gets up. She has breakfast, and she sits in front of the window all day. We've got to get her more active and get some more socialization in place. So there's so many needs of seniors out there that the field is just growing tremendously as people learn more and more about the industry of home care.
Right, and the aging population, as we discussed, and also how people really want to live out their, you know, later years. And,
right.
And those are the people sort of driving the change in the industry.
Absolutely.
And asking for more than just saying, okay, go to that facility down this, you know,
absolutely,
street, and you know, that's the end of it type of thing.
And I think what we're seeing, too, is, you know, the aging baby boomers coming up for retirement or nearing retirement, and people are starting to recognize, oh, my God, is a nursing home, is that it?
Yeah, is that the end of it? Right?
Is that the end of it? And folks are starting to recognize that there are some options. If I plan ahead, I think what we're going to see over the next 20 years is the next generation of retirees who have planned better, have planned for their retirement years, have perhaps put aside some money to ensure that they will be able to stay in their home as long as possible, particularly knowing that Medicare does not cover these kinds of services.
Well, if people want to find out more about Visiting Angels, what's the best way for them to...
Well, the best thing to do is to give me a call. Again, my name is Connie. The number is area code 216-451-1260. Again, it's 216-451-1260.
And I also noticed the website, visitingangels.com.
Absolutely.
Kind of gives an overview and an idea about the organization in general.
Absolutely.
And, again, you can contact Connie Hill with the... Visiting Angels of Cleveland, the number again, one more time?
216-451-1260.
We hope we helped out some people, gave them some ideas, and maybe for future times down the road they'll remember this. And Connie, thanks for taking the time and joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.